Calvary Chapel presents Pastor's Perspective, a one-hour program that gives a biblical and pastoral viewpoint on the theological, social, and practical issues of the day. We'll be taking your calls in just a moment. But first, here's today's host.
Welcome to this edition of Pastor's Perspective. Today is Monday, April 6th. It's a pleasure to have you on the air with us. Hopefully you had a great Easter. We're excited to have a special guest this hour with us on the radio. But before I introduce him, let me introduce myself. I'm Josh Taransky. I am the host for today's show. We're going to be talking about parenting for the entire hour today. And before you tune out, if you're a grandparent or a teacher or you don't have any kids, let me tell you, this show is going to be highly relevant to a lot more than just parents of young kids. So it is my privilege to have on the air today Dr. Scott Taransky, and you may recognize that last name. That is also my last name, and in fact, Dr. Scott Taransky is my dad. And we've had him on the air with us in the past. We've had him host a parenting conference here at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa this past year, and it was just tremendous. And Dad, I think that's what I'm going to call you, because I don't think I can pull off the Dr. Taransky. Dad, it's great to have you on the air with us. Thanks for making some time for us.
Josh, thanks for having me on. It's a privilege to be with you.
Yeah, you were here just this last fall, and it was one of the first, maybe the first parenting conferences that we've hosted here at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. And we just had a tremendous response. Over 850 adults were in attendance. And the only thing I've heard since then is, when is he coming back again? When are we going to have another conference?
So yeah, we had a good time together. I was great. A lot of people had good questions. We had a question-answer time. We tried to approach it from a heart-based perspective instead of behavior modification. I think parents really appreciate a biblical approach as they're working with their children.
Yeah, we had great responses, and we're going to talk a little bit about some plans that are coming up for this fall. But before we do that, you're not only a parenting expert or a parenting family coach. You're also a Calvary Chapel pastor, and we actually have some of our audience is actually on your side of the country there in New Jersey, and so just share a little bit about your ministry as a pastor and where you're at now.
Well, we planted this Calvary about 2 years ago after I had been a pastor at Calvary Chapel Mercer County for about 15 years. We planted Calvary Chapel Living Hope with the desire to really emphasize family ministry throughout the church. So in our youth group program, we have parents and teens that meet together during the youth group, because we recognize that parents are the spiritual trainers of their kids. So we facilitate that right in the midst of our youth group program. We bless our children every Sunday morning before they go to their discipleship classes. So we have a program in Calvary Chapel Living Hope that's taking Jesus home. That's our motto. We want to help parents to know how to work with their kids. And then we have a lot of folks who aren't parents or aren't in that stage right now, but their opportunity to take Jesus home takes them into the work field or takes them into their own personal lives. So we really want to take Jesus home in our lives. Calvary Chapel Living Hope is the church. We meet in Robbinsville, New Jersey.
Wow. And you've been a pastor for close to 30 years, isn't that correct?
35 now. Yeah.
Wow. Wow, 35 years, and this is the second Calvary Chapel that you've pastored, and you guys are teaching verse by verse. What book of the Bible are you going through now?
Yeah, we just finished the Psalms, book 4 of the Psalms, and after in the next couple of weeks, we're going to start the book of Numbers, and we're going to go right through the book of Numbers, verse by verse Bible teaching.
Wow, that's great. Well, we're excited to have you back this fall. Right now, it looks like we've got you coming back to Southern California, October 22nd through the 24th. You're going to be speaking in the Inland Empire, doing a conference there. You'll be in L.A. County, and you'll be with us on a Saturday, October 24th, here in Orange County. All three of those conferences or those evenings and then the Saturday, they're going to be different messages or different sessions. Is that correct?
Well, that's true. Each one of them are going to have a different focus. We'll focus on emotions in the family in one of them. We'll talk about the biblical concept of honor in the other. And then we're going to talk about internal motivation, what that looks like from a heart-based approach. So in each of the three conferences that we do in the LA area, we're going to emphasize different things, but it's all going to have this heart-based approach, a biblical approach, and every one of them are going to be very practical as we help children know how to change and use parents as the vehicles to make that happen.
Great. Well, we'll have some information out in the next month or so with a website for people to register and to share that with their friends. We're really looking forward to that event. And so thanks for committing to that. I know you're busy. You're traveling 40 weeks out of the year, aren't you?
That's right. I speak every week around the country. This week I'll be in Cincinnati, Ohio. And then every week we're speaking. We don't speak during December usually, but every other week on Friday and Saturday, we're speaking somewhere in the country to help parents work with their children. Really what we're trying to do is develop churches as parent training centers. The discipleship model that Jesus Christ gave to us is really important, that we're not just teaching people how to be good Christians, but we're helping them to observe everything that Jesus commanded, which means we're going to help parents know how to work with their children. Discipling people in their roles and relationship in family life is very important to us.
Great. That's awesome. Well, we're very excited about that. It's going to be a tremendous time. Let's get into just the topic for today's show. We want to specifically dive deep into just this realm of parenting. And the way that we want to do this today, I think the best thing to do would be to just focus in on one particular scenario and let you walk us through some of the ways to think about a parenting issue. So for the sake of this show, let's take the example of an 11-year-old who is struggling with being disrespectful to their parents. Maybe this is in the evenings when it's time to do your homework. The young man is disrespectful to his parents, or maybe it's time for bed and there's pushback. Let's say that there's a family that's dealing with this issue on an ongoing basis. They come to you and they say, "What should I do? Where do I start?"
Great. And we're going to spend a whole bunch of time just dealing with this one problem. And what I'd like to do is take it from several different angles, because every child's different, and not every child's the same, and every parent's different. So we need a number of different strategies to help children change. First thing we have to realize in this situation is that this is a heart problem. And the reason I know it's a heart problem, because you're telling me that it happens regularly. Mm. When Jesus talked about the heart, he described it as a tendency. He says, it's out of the heart that the mouth speaks. So if this child is speaking disrespectfully to his mom and his dad, that tells me, excuse me, that tells me this is a heart problem. And so we want to address it on a heart problem. If we just look at this as behavior modification, and we just give them a reward or a punishment for doing right or wrong, then I think we're going to eventually miss the heart. In fact, I'm convinced that a behavior modification approach weakens the heart, weakens the internal motivation inside of a child. So when parents say to their kids, "Clean up your room and you can watch a video," or "Finish your homework and you can go out and play," that kind of a continual dialogue with a child, it causes children to ask the wrong questions about life. You see, parents are saying, "I'll give you what you want if you do what I say." And kids start asking the question, "Are you going to pay me for that? Or what's in it for me?" Those are the wrong questions kids are asking. And they actually develop an entitlement mentality that says, "You owe me." And so some of the disrespect that may be coming from this young man's life may be coming from the response that parents are using already. Let's change the responses. Let's not use a behavior modification approach. Rewards and punishments aren't wrong. We even see them in the Bible. But we see a much more engaging approach in God's word that involves the heart. When Samuel was on a mission to find the new king for God, he saw Eliab and thought, "He's the one, because he looks handsome. He looks like he's tall, like the last king, King Saul." But God spoke into Samuel's ear or in his heart and said, "Man looks on the appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." So what I'd like to do is take this one scenario and talk about what it looks like to help him change his heart. at 11 years old.
Great. That's awesome. So one of the things, even just going back just a second, what we've done is we've identified that we have a child here with a pattern. And what you're saying is that this pattern reflects that there's something going on in his heart. And so if somebody steps into a counseling appointment with you and they express that this pattern is going on, the first thing that you want to do is you want to say, hey, this is only a symptom of what's going on in this individual's heart.
I would say that, yes. If the problem happens once, I would consider that an accident. Mm-hmm. If it happens twice, that'd be a coincidence. But if it happens more than that, we've got to start looking at the heart. And sometimes parents say, well, he's obeying me, but his attitude's getting worse and worse and worse. Now, I would suggest that when that takes place, there's a problem about to come about. Now, I don't know if it'll happen this week, or it'll happen next month, or it'll happen a year from now, but if the heart's getting worse and worse and the behavior seems to be okay, we're going to have a crisis. When Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, he says, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Mm-hmm. That's a problem. We want our children's hearts to be in the right place. Disrespect in this 11-year-old boy is a sign of something going on in his heart, and if we're going to be successful at helping him change, we've got to address the deeper issues.
Okay, so we've identified that there's a heart issue that's going on. It's a bad attitude, and it's being displayed through words. And what does a bad attitude? I mean, in my house, I know what a bad attitude sounds like. Maybe I should give the examples. It's been a little while since I was in your house and had a bad attitude as an 11-year-old. But what are we talking about? Is this facial expressions or what is a bad attitude?
An attitude usually comes from a belief that someone has inside their heart that life isn't fitting the way I want, and therefore the person in this 11-year-old probably believes something, and that's going to be important as we look at the heart here. He probably believes that if I'm not happy with what's going on, I have the right to display that misery to everyone else or make everyone else miserable, and I can make comments that express my displeasure. That belief that he has inside of his heart is wrong and it needs to change. Now, he might demonstrate that in a whole bunch of different ways. Sometimes kids use their mouths. Sometimes they use their eyes. Sometimes they use their hands or their feet. You know, I say to parents, or I say to a child who comes into my office, you know, if you have an anger problem, then sometimes it comes out of your feet and you start kicking something or stomping down the hall. If it comes out of your hands, that energy that comes into your body from being angry, if it comes out of your hands, then you might hit someone or throw something. If it comes out of your mouth, you might scream or you might say something unkind. If it comes out of your eyes, then you might glare at someone or you might start crying. I say, but sometimes it happens in all those places at the same time, and so we call that a temper tantrum. And so I'm just enjoying talking to the kids and helping them see some of those things.
Yeah. Okay, good. So we've got a bad attitude. We've got either a temper tantrum or this bad attitude's being expressed in some way or another, and we know it's something's going on in his heart. What do we do next? What should we start thinking about as a parent next?
Okay, so we've identified this as a heart problem, and I would suggest the very first thing we want to do is to build relationship with this child. We want to look for ways to connect emotionally with this child, connect with his heart using relationship. The reason for that is because we're in the next steps that I'm going to tell you about, we're going to put pressure on this child. And a child can only take as much pressure as the relationship allows. So relationship is going to be a key strategy. Before we start into anything that's going to put pressure on the child, I would suggest we're going to look for ways to connect. It may be that we're going to enjoy doing some common activity together. It might be that we just listen to the child. It might be that we are engaging in some significant dialogue. But somehow we're going to build some emotional connection with that child. Relationship is important.
Well, that's so hard because they've been in the house expressing this bad attitude, and I'm upset at them. You know, there's this...
Yes.
There's this disruption that they've caused in family life, and you're telling me to build a relationship with them. That almost seems like it's counterintuitive.
It is, and that's why I want to start there. You see, sometimes the tension that exists in a relationship between a parent and child is part of what causes the disrespect or the bad attitude. And so if parents can do their part to try to strengthen relationship, then good things can happen. And I would meet with the child, and I'd say, son, I want to have a good relationship with you. I feel like there's sometimes when I have to give you instructions, or I have to correct you, or I have to say no. Now, those are the three big areas in family life where kids have bad attitudes. I'll say them again. You give instructions, you correct a child or you have to set limits or say no. Sometimes, son, when I do those things, there's some tension in our relationship. I want to have a good relationship with you. I know you want to have a good relationship with me. So let's work on this together. Now, just making that kind of a statement with a child affirms that relationship, and it sets the stage for what we're about to do.
Excellent. Let's take a break for just a second. I just want to reintroduce the show. This is Pastor's Perspective, and I am Josh Taransky. I'm your host for today's show, and we're talking with Scott Taransky, Dr. Scott Taransky, who happens to also be my dad. He's a Calvary Chapel pastor on the East Coast, and he has given us an hour of his time to walk us specifically through one parenting scenario as an example. He's using this one, this scenario to kind of help us problem solve. And, he's helping us think through, what to do with maybe an 11-year-old who's having a bad attitude. This is beneficial if you're a parent, a grandparent, a teacher. It's not just for the parent of an 11-year-old, but that's the, example that we're using. And we've talked through, we've identified that this is a hard issue. And the second point that, we talked about was just building a relationship, the parent-child relationship, as a tool for change. You talked about the next step being some consequences or bringing in some structure or firmness. I don't know the exact word that you used, but what is the next step?
Well, I would say firmness is going to be an important word that we're going to use. Now, the heart changes. You got to realize this. The heart changes when one of two things or both of them happen. One is that a person starts to realize that what they're doing in life isn't working for them. They're feeling uncomfortable about what's happening. Or when they have a vision for something better. So I might decide, I live in New Jersey, although it's a warm day today, sometimes it's very cold, I might decide to keep my thermostat up pretty high. But then I may on a day decide, you know, I'm going to change the way I live. I'm going to change my processing. My heart is going to change here. I'm going to live differently. And so I might decide I want to be more green. I have a vision for something better. Or I might have gotten the bill in the mail and realized I can't live this way anymore. That's the firmness. Mm. So firmness is a very important component here as working with children that helps them see we can't live this way anymore. So now that firmness, sometimes people think about consequences, and I think consequences certainly are a part of the firmness. But firmness is much more than that. Sometimes it's just saying no. Sometimes it's refusing to dialogue or argue with a child. Sometimes it's saying the answer is no. You don't argue with me or be disrespectful. You need to go have a seat, take a break, change your heart, come back and see me when you're ready. So it isn't always a consequence. Sometimes it's just the parent deciding, I'm not going to continue in this process anymore. We're going to draw a line here in order to make this work.
Okay, great. So let's apply this to this 11-year-old. We've identified that there's a heart issue going on. We've tried to build a relationship with him. Maybe we had that parent-child sit down. We've had a meeting. We've identified it with them. We've tried to build a relationship with them. And now we're going to be firm and bring in some consequences. What might that look like with this 11-year-old?
All right, so this is very important because the first thing I want to do is I want to know when it's coming. As soon as I see it as a parent, I want to draw attention to it, and I want to make some words at that moment that are firm words. I might say to him, son, this is what we were talking about. This is the disrespect. Can you try that again, or do we need to go to something else? So the firmness is drawing attention to the point at which the problem starts happening. I would suggest that in all families, we need to have what we call do-overs. Do-overs are God's grace, working in a family. A person makes a mistake, we say to them, would you like a do-over here and try again? Or do we need to go to the next step? There's always a next step that may involve some consequences, but we're going to draw a line right away that says, okay, there it is. We need to do something about it. Now, the plan we're sharing about 11-year-olds could certainly be used by any family dealing with any problem that they work on in their family life. I work with parents in counseling, solving all kinds of problems with very young children, 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, or even 17, 18, or 20-year-olds, trying to help parents have plans for them. And we're going to follow this same approach. Firmness basically says, we can't live this way anymore. Now, sometimes it involves consequences. Let me give you an example of the difference between behavior modification and a heart-based approach when it comes to using a consequence. Let's say we're going to say to this young man, I'm going to take away your iPad. Now, in a in a behavior modification approach, typically you say, I'm taking away your iPad for a day or a week. And the child, what you've done at that moment is taken something out of the heart. You've taken out hope. Hope is out of the heart now. Why should I change? I just got to endure my sentence for the next day or the week. It's, then I can get my iPad back. In a heart-based approach, we don't do that. In a heart-based approach, we might take the iPad away, the same thing, but we don't set a time limit. Rather, we say, I want to give your iPad back. Show me that you're working on respect. Show me that you're valuing people here in the family and treating me kindly when you don't like what's happening. And then I'll be happy to give your iPad back. So now we've left hope in the heart and even are using that particular consequence to move the child on a map toward point B. So that's where we're headed here, to help the child see we're moving away from the disrespect to something better.
Right. So you're saying that if by just eliminating that, the time frame, rather than saying, hey, you know, maybe with a young child, you'd say, hey, go sit in the timeout or sit in the corner there for 3 minutes and then you can get back up. That would be more behavior modification, because there's no real criteria for them having changed after those 3 minutes. Or with the 11-year-old who loses the iPad, if it's just a time frame that he loses the iPad for, just a day or a week, there's no real motivation to change. It's just he has to endure his iPad-less life for a day, and then he gets it back after the end of that time, and it really hasn't dealt with what was going on in his heart.
That's exactly right. We don't see the concept of timeout in the Bible, but we've designed what we call a break, which transfers responsibility to the child, whether it's the iPad for the child who's being disrespectful, or it's the three-year-old we send to take a break. We're going to transfer responsibility by saying to the child, you need to change your heart. Come back and see me when you're ready. Now, we've transferred responsibility, and now the child has to make some changes before that child can move forward. That is a very important piece that exists in a heart-based strategy that's different in a humanistic strategy that we commonly call behavior modification.
Excellent. And those people who are familiar with your ministry know that this is one of the hallmarks, one of the great points that you make as you travel around the country and are teaching. I know that people who are here in Southern California that listened to you last October will recognize this idea of a consequence that really depends upon the child's heart changing or demonstrating kind of a change in them before the consequence goes away. So that's excellent. Is there anything else that we need to know about just using firmness and consequences in this particular setting?
Just remember about firmness, that firmness makes point A uncomfortable. That's our goal here, is to make point A uncomfortable, because we want them to go to the next step.
Okay, great. Okay, so we've identified that it's a heart issue. We have built our relationship with them, and now we're bringing in structure. We're being firm with them. We're correcting them. We're giving them consequences for this bad attitude. What do we do next as we're disciplining? Because now we're really into what the Bible would call disciplining, right? Because discipline is causing that pain point in their life. What happens next?
Okay, so I think that discipline, the word discipline means to teach. Mm-hmm. And so we want to move beyond just a punishment for doing the wrong thing. Punishment focuses on the wrong that's done. Discipline focuses on the right we're going to do. Punishment is negative. Discipline is positive. Punishment is usually motivated out of anger. Discipline is motivated out of love. Discipline has a positive focus, looks forward to what we're going to do. Punishment has a negative focus, looks back on what we've done. So let's talk about moving toward point B. Let's talk about the map. Inside of the child's heart, we're going to imagine a map that goes from point A, where the problem is right now, he's being disrespectful to his parents during homework and when it's time to go to bed and when he doesn't get what he wants. Okay, that's at point A. That's the problem. But at point B, we have to ask the question, where should he be? Where does God want him to be? Where do I want him to be as a parent? Let's say in this case, I want him to be more cooperative, or I want him to have a better responsiveness to authority. Both of those are heart qualities that a child needs to develop. The Bible uses the term character. We can use that same term to describe where we're going. Now, this is so important, because if we think about the child's heart in terms of a map, going from point A to point B, then that's different than the T-chart that's often on the wall that's behavior modification that says you did this, so you get that. You did this, so you get that, both good or bad. So now we're working toward a goal. We're heading toward point B. We want to define that quality, and we can do that very clearly with a child who's experiencing disrespect.
Mm. So there's a point B. So if we're talking about this 11-year-old who's having a bad attitude, we're envisioning them obviously not having a bad attitude. Is that point B?
See, I think the problem that we as parents often face is that we want to get rid of point A. So that's all we think about. And that's where our vocabulary is and all the things we talk about is that point A. Would you just cut it out? Stop it. I can't believe you're doing this again. And so we talk a lot about point A. What we need to do is we need to start focusing on point B. So point B then becomes the place where we're training the child to move forward. In this case, we're identifying it for the child. Hey, I'm trying to help you develop honor or responsiveness to authority or cooperation, or choose one of those. And I want to define it now in terms that the child can understand. I might say that cooperation means giving up your agenda for someone else. Or when I give you an instruction you don't like, responding with grace instead of meanness, or something that's very specific for that child. Here's where it gets to be very pointed for that child, because the definitions are definitions of that key word going to point B that are very child specific, because one child who demonstrates disrespect is different than another. So we're trying to move a child in that direction to help the child know what point B looks like. And then our vocabulary as parents is going to talk about point B every time we need to correct or redirect that child.
Great. So I know in my own home, I have an 11-year-old, and when his point B would be, you know, just that idea of being cooperative and having that not just a good attitude, but a good attitude is expressed in him saying, yes, you know, he's ready to follow instructions. He's ready to go the extra mile. He's very eager and willing to be peaceable in the house. And that's what I love about my 11-year-old. He's my oldest, and he does that so well. And I think he's listening to this as well. So we're very proud of you, Hudson. And your grandpa's proud of you as well. But
right. In fact, one of Hudson's strengths is he's so relational and so eager to please. Now, I want to take that strength that he has and let's bring it into, you know, if this child, this other 11-year-old we're talking about, let's take that other strength that he might have and bring it into an area of weakness in a child's life. So anytime we can identify an area of strength in a child, we can usually take some of the benefits of that and bring it into an area where he might not be strong. So, yeah, Hudson's great in that particular area of being really strong, and he's very responsive, loves to serve the Lord. I'm proud of him.
So we're having this, we're working with this child. Again, the example that we're using here for today's show is this 11-year-old who has this chronic bad attitude. He's disruptive in the home. And we've identified that there's a heart issue behind this bad attitude. And the second step that we went through and we talked about was just building a relationship, and the relationship between the parent and the child, really developing that relationship as a tool for change. Then we talked about firmness and the consequences that we begin to bring in to address the bad attitude. And now we're talking about just having a vision of where we want to go. We don't want to just, you use the idea of the T-chart between, which is behavior modification, where you've kind of got the X marks or the check marks of you've done this many things good and this many things bad. Instead, you're using the idea of a roadmap that's going to lead us into, it's taking us in the direction that we want to go. And we're imparting that vision to the child, of what we want them to grow into, the character that we want them to develop. Is that right?
That's exactly right. The word vision can be characterized by the word why. We want this child to know why we're moving over here. Wow, when you develop cooperation, you're going to be more effective at school, more effective if you're in sports, you know, on the sports team. You're going to be more effective someday as a dad or as a father. You're going to feel better. Our relationship is going to be better. It's all moving toward, come on, let's work on this in your life because good things are going to happen.
That's great. Excellent. Well, this has been a first, these first 30 minutes have been excellent, great material, and I'm glad that we're diving in deep on just this one particular scenario. You're asking us to really think deeply about what we want to see changed in our child, and I feel like we're addressing it from a biblical perspective. So hold on, we'll be right back in just a minute. Welcome to the second half hour of Pastor's Perspective. It's Monday, and we're so glad that you've joined us. We've got three more steps that we're going to take with our special guest talking about parenting. But let me really quickly just step back and catch you up if you haven't been with us for the first half hour. My name is Josh Taransky. I am your host today on the show, and we have a special guest calling in from Lawrenceville, New Jersey. His name is Dr. Scott Taransky. He happens to be my dad. He's an expert on parenting. He's a Calvary Chapel pastor, and I've had the privilege of knowing him for 33 years. It's pretty young when I met him. And so thanks, Dad, for being with us. This is so fun.
Well, thanks, Josh. It's good to be with you. And I was pretty young when I met you, too.
Yeah, I'm the oldest of your five kids. Before we get back into just the stuff that we were talking about with parenting, this is so rich. Hopefully, if you weren't with us for the first half hour, you go back and listen to the podcast through iTunes or watch the video on YouTube. This is terrific material. I know I'm going to take this home and use some of these things in my own family. But, Dad, you recently came out with a new book. You've written over 12 books, and your last one came out back in January. It was called How to Motivate a Child. Is that correct?
It's called Motivate Your Child, A Christian Parent's Guide to Helping Your Children Do What They're Told Without Being Reminded.
Awesome. Now, this is a book that was really important to you. If you could have a favorite, I don't know if this would be a favorite or not, but again, it deals with the heart. You've written about the heart before. What's unique about this book?
Well, this book, Motivate Your Child, addresses a child's conscience. Now, if God has placed inside of a child a conscience, then we want to know how to engage that. So this is a parenting book, helping parents know how to work with something God's already placed inside of the child. Is it possible? Just imagine that there's a piece of equipment inside your child's heart that can help your child to be internally motivated, prompted from the inside. But that piece of equipment needs to be trained. We look at 30 times the word conscience is used in the New Testament. We look at the concept that's being taught throughout the Bible. It's an amazing concept. Every person has a conscience. I know sometimes we wonder with some of our kids, but there's a way for us to prompt our children or train our children so that they are responsive to those internal promptings so that parents don't have to be prompting their kids over and over again. And it's practical. It can help children get ready in the morning as they're getting ready to go to school. It's practical. It can help children learn how to clean the room on their own or learn how to get along with a sibling. This is a very important concept that they can learn.
Great. Yeah. And this book, it's available through the Chapel Store. I'm actually looking at it right now on the Chapel Store's website. And so if you want to pick up a copy of that, you can do so. And, you know, this is also available. Some of this material is available in a podcast that you recently did. And that's available on iTunes as well. I know that I've listened through many of the 20-minute teachings that you've done in that podcast format on iTunes. So, and you're going to be dealing with some of this stuff when you come out here as well, right?
I am. I've written a companion book to this one called Motivate Your Child Action Plan. We should probably get that in the store as well because it's the newest of all the books that came out. It's our 13th book. And this is the one that does exactly what I'm telling you today with this 11-year-old boy, to move a child from point A to point B. So it's my counseling practice put in a book. And it's a plan that you can use with any child to help them change. Now, when we come to Southern California in October, we're going to be sharing specific ideas about internal motivation, how to change children, what that looks like from a biblical perspective. And we're going to take the ideas about how God changes us, that is the sanctification process. We're going to take those ideas, apply them to the parent-child relationship. We can maximize our parenting when we use God's strategies. We're going to show parents what that looks like in some very practical ways.
That's excellent, because I know as a parent, I've thought many times, you know, I can identify the problem, but there is just a sense in my life, in my wife's life, what are we going to do? How are we going to bring about change in this particular setting? Sometimes the habits or the bad habits just seem so deep and so related to personality or and it just seems like, man, our schedule's so busy. We're doing so many things. How are we going to bring about change in this one particular area? So I can't wait. Hopefully, since I'm your son, I get to have a copy of that book. But if not, I can go to the Chapel Store and buy it, I'm sure.
We'll get you one, Josh. We'd love to do that.
Good. I appreciate it. Okay, so we've been talking about a particular scenario for the sake of today's show. A young man, 11 years old, has a bad attitude. The parents have identified it. It's going on and on and on. And maybe he rolls his eyes, or he makes a funny noise when his mom gives him specific instructions. Maybe it's even more verbal or outright than that. But it's disrupting the peace in the home. And so we talked about identifying this bad attitude as really sourced in the heart, and that this is a heart issue. And then we talked about how the first step that we need to take is that this is something that has to be dealt with on a relational level, the relationship that you have with your child. And so you asked us to do something that almost feels counterintuitive, which was to build a relationship with the child before we go into a process of firmness and consequences, which was the third step. And we talked about what it means to have a firmness in place when this bad attitude is demonstrated. We talked about some consequences and using consequences in this setting, and what some of those consequences might look like. And then the next step was we talked about having a vision of where we want to take the child next. So we don't want to just stop them from demonstrating this bad attitude, and we don't want to just see it go away, but we want to see character being built up in its place. And that's where you use this idea of a map, moving the child from point A, which is the bad attitude, to point B, which is building character. And so you talked about having a vision for what it might look like for this child to change. So, man, that sounds like a lot. Is there more? What's the next step?
Well, visioning, remember, is characterized by the word why. And just because we tell kids why in a positive way, kind of attract them, doesn't mean they're going to go there. That's why we need firmness and visioning put together. God does the same thing with us. Let's go to the next step, which is the teaching step, characterized by the word how. How do you respond with a good attitude when mom asks you to get off the iPad and help set the table for dinner when you don't feel like doing it? How do you respond to an annoying brother? How do you move forward when you're trying, you know, you have these expectations of what you thought you could do, but mom has some other ideas, or dad has some other ideas of what he wants you to do? The how is very important. Children, in order to accomplish the how, need to have a different plan for what they're going to do and what they're going to say. Now, that's important. When I say, I mean what they're going to say in their hearts. Psalm 19:14, a verse that we all know but usually emphasize the first part, says this: "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." It's the meditations of the heart now that we want to start addressing. These are the beliefs inside. The how-tos now are going to move our child in the right direction. So we're not just saying to a child, be nice, be respectful. Now we're saying to him, okay, I want you to sit down for a minute, and I want you to tell me two or three things you're going to do whenever I have to interrupt you from what you're doing in order to move forward. Or whenever you're expecting to do something and I am asking you to do something different. When we then what we've done again is transferred responsibility to the child. I tell parents, you may not write on this piece of paper for the child. The child needs to write his plan, because we're transferring responsibility to the child. Parents have lots of ideas. Parents often give the plans to their children. We're saying in this step, the how-to step, a child needs to come up with with a plan. Now, parents can jot down ideas somewhere else. There's lots of ideas. I'm sure that parents have ideas. Mom and dad, siblings have ideas. Grandparents have ideas. Teachers have ideas. All kinds of ideas are present. But the key thing is which of the ideas are best for this child. And that child needs to pick and choose the ones that are going to be on his list. I would suggest this is a written list for how I'm going to be, in this case, we're talking about developing cooperation. That's our point B quality. What does that look like in the nitty-gritty of life? So the how-to is a very important piece of the whole puzzle of moving a child from point A to point B.
So I could say that this works because I've done this in my home. I love this idea. And what this looked like for us was we were having a reoccurring issue about a year and a half ago with one of our boys. And we said, look, we want you to come up with a plan on how you're going to change. We helped him identify this is what was going on. This is what we don't like. He was able to see, yeah, this is a problem. This is a reoccurring issue in the home. I understand that this isn't right. But then we said, okay, we want you to come up with a plan on how you're going to change. And you kind of coached us through this process on how to help our son come up with this plan. And you said to him that when you develop a plan, there are three buckets that you can pull specific ideas out of. Do you mind going into that for just a second? Because this was, you know, it's one thing to tell your kid, okay, you got to come up with a plan to change. And we threw out a couple of ideas, but you did a great job of giving us really clear areas where he could pull out ideas from. I mean, you do a better job of explaining. Go ahead. Talk about the buckets.
So there are three buckets of solutions. The first bucket is your biological bucket that have to do with things you can do physically. So if a child's having a problem feeling angry or upset, and that's why he's disrespectful, then maybe he needs to take a deep breath or get a drink of water. I don't tell him to do that. I say, I want you to draw something out of the bucket. What's going to help you physically? Maybe it's to step away from the situation, walk around the room. So there's the biological bucket. The second bucket has to do with reactions. What do you say to yourself? How are you going to respond differently? Start role-playing in your mind how you're going to respond differently in this particular situation. So now the child is going to face the temptation to complain or be disrespectful with a different plan. That's the second bucket, is all kinds of reactions and plans we can draw out of there. The third bucket has to do with spiritual resources, where we're coming before God and asking God to empower us. Because remember, inside the heart, yes, we do have the conscience, but we also have the Holy Spirit resident inside of a person who's accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but even still working on the heart of a person who has not yet done that. So the Holy Spirit's working on the heart continually. The Holy Spirit empowers us to do what's right. I can call upon God and ask him to give me the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which are a number of qualities that help in family life. I can also ask him to calm my heart or give me direction. And so there's power resident in God. Now, and it's really important to understand this. In fact, this is taking us into the next step. So let me just illustrate this, because the next step is the spiritual strategies. We call it prayer. So teaching was one, talks about how, and the next one is prayer. And we have to ask this question. Can a five-year-old accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior? And I think we're going to answer the question, yes, he can. Now, at what point does the Holy Spirit come into a person's life? Well, at conversion. So we know that a child when he accepts Christ has the access to the Holy Spirit's power. My job as a counselor, or my job as a parent, is to help a child learn how to yield himself to the Holy Spirit or rely on the Holy Spirit. Can a five-year-old be filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes, I've seen it. It happens. But sometimes they get filled and then stop being filled. And so there's some practice at sanctification, just like us as adults. We're helping children understand this and put it into practice in practical ways.
So we sit down with the child and we say, okay, we're gonna have you now take responsibility for the change that needs to take place in your life. And we're going to have you come up with a plan. And you're going to put down specific things on this piece of paper that you're going to do when you're feeling tempted to have a bad attitude. And so what happens is, when they have a bad attitude, you're able to say, wait, are you walking through your plan that you've written out? Is that the idea of taking responsibility?
It is, yes. So we might say, do you need a do-over here? Do you need to look at your plan? Or we might say, well, we got a problem here. You need to go take a break, settle down, change your heart, look at your plan, come back and see me when you're ready. So the plan becomes a very important part to move us to point B. So helping our children to get to that other place is important. And the word how, or teaching, is part of what we do. Training is one of our instructions as parents. This is a key element of what training looks like.
Great. Yeah. So, and some of the plan is preemptive as well. I know in my own son, when he did this, he I think the first thing that he put on his plan was that he was going to just prepare his heart for the day. So before he fell into sin and this one particular thing that he was struggling with, he was preempting that by getting his heart ready. And that helped so much. But then other parts of his plan dealt more with after he was in the middle of this temptation to have this problem. He was able to kind of go back to it and kind of rescue himself or not have as big of an issue as he had been having in the past. So I love this whole idea of developing a plan. And then there is this aspect of prayer, praying for your child. Now when we talk about praying for your child, we're also talking about having them, teaching them to pray and develop their own relationship with the Lord.
That's exactly right. See, the process you described there of how we set our hearts right in the morning and then sometimes we fall back. I mean, you sound like the Apostle Paul there. He's talking about, hey, I want to do what's right, but, you know, I don't. And so God has a plan for that. It's called repentance. It's called forgiveness. It's called confession. And it's called yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit. All of that is a very spiritual process. Now, you don't have to use the word sin, forgiveness, confession, repentance with children as you're working this through, but you do want to teach by experience. And so we're trying to help our children know what it means to live a godly life. I think we have to be careful, though, that we don't overemphasize in our teaching of children the holiness, the wrath, and the justice of God. You know, you violated command number 43 here, and the Bible says it right here, if you would do this. I think we have to be careful with that, because if we overemphasize those parts of God's character, we miss some of the other stuff that God wants us to know about God. You see, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he accomplished the satisfaction of the wrath of God for us, so that then he introduces us to a father-like relationship with our Heavenly Father, who knows every hair of our head is numbered, who cares for us like the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. God cares for us. He empowers us with a counselor who walks along and guides us into all truth. It's that part of God's character that I want to emphasize mostly as I'm working with a child. We still want them to understand the holiness of God, but we want to emphasize in the dynamic, the relationship, that God wants to help us do what's right. He wants to move us in the right direction, that He is our Heavenly Father, guiding us in that positive way. So tapping into the spiritual relationship with God is a key way that every child can move forward.
That's so rich, because that is theologically accurate, and that's how we deal with our relationship with the Lord. We want God's grace, and that's how we grow, is by just walking in the grace that He provides for us. In fact, everything that we're talking about here today, you could almost impose upon yourself and practice as an adult. Identify, look, if we've got our own issue that's going on in our life that's a reoccurring thing and we feel like God's convicting us of this one particular issue, we know that it's a hard issue, right? And that the growth that's going to take place, it's going to take place out of our relationship with Him. We're not going to be able to grow independent of our relationship with Him. That's what John 15 talks about. And we need to be open to the fact that there's a place for consequences, or the chastening of the Lord that takes place in our life. He wants to chasten us through His word first, but sometimes He allows our life to experience natural consequences or painful things that go on in our life because He is trying to help us get from point A to point B, and He has laid out a vision for us in our own lives in terms of what character looks like. In fact, it says in Romans chapter 8 that we're being conformed into the image of Christ. I mean, that's the ultimate step, you know, B location on the map, right?
And, that's right.
And we do. That's the wonderful thing about the new covenant here, of this whole idea of the how that we got into after the break, which was taking responsibility or transferring responsibility, is that we each have responsibility for ourselves. That is the whole idea of the new covenant, is that we don't have to go to our neighbor and rely upon our neighbor to tell us know the Lord, but we each independently have a relationship with the Lord, and our spiritual growth takes place through cooperation with Him. And man, if we want to basically supercharge that growth, it happens you know, on our knees as we're relating to the Lord, as we're spending time with Him in prayer. He is just working in our life. So that really takes us up through these six steps. Is there a seventh thing here that you want to focus on?
There is, but before I go there, I just want to comment on what you've just said, because you're drawing attention to how we came to these principles that are in these books. Both the Motivate Your Child book and the Motivate Your Child Action Plan are designed to help children change. And what we did was we went to the Bible and we asked the question, how do people change? When God comes into our lives, He puts us at point A and He says, I've got a beautiful life for you over here at point B. And He calls that process sanctification. And then He uses a number of tools to move us from point A to point B. What we've done now is tried to analyze our relationship with our Heavenly Father. We've tried to analyze the theology of how God works with us to bring about change. And what we've tried to do is develop practical principles for parents that they can use with their children to maximize that process. You see, God's the one who designed change. He knows how to make that change happen in the most effective way. If we can tie into the principles that God uses to help us change, amazing things can happen with our children. That's why I really like to move away from the behavior modification approach, the humanistic approach that basically says you do this and I'll give you that. It's so short-sighted. It doesn't address the heart fully. This a process of sanctification that God works with us is good theology. And if we build our parenting practices on good theology, then we can maximize the change inside of our children. So that's really a valuable thing as we're trying to help our kids make significant changes in their lives.
Good. Let's just finish up by talking just about the parent's attitude. And, you know, it's easy as a parent, especially out of the busyness of life, to just kind of become penal or like the policeman around the house, just trying to just say, you know, stop it, cut it out, you know. What should my attitude as a parent be?
All right, so this last step is characterized by the word coaching. Just as we started with relationship, now we want to wrap it all in relationship. We're coaching the child along. Instead of being the policeman that says, blowing the whistle, oh, you're out of line, now we're saying things like, oh, that was a wrong response, can you try that again? Or we're saying, come on, you can do this. Let's move forward here. We're coaching the child, and our attitude as a parent's all involved in this idea of relationship. This is significant. What we've done here is wrapped it all up in relationship, and what that does for a child is it provides hope. Hope that we can move forward, but not just hope for the child. It provides hope for the parent, because now we have a plan. We're working a plan. We're calling on the resources that God has for us. We have hope that God is going to do a significant work in this child.
So we're dealing with just having an attitude of hopefulness and an expectation that God is at work, rather than blowing our whistle. I love that analogy of just blowing the whistle, saying, you know, come on, get back in line, you know. And I know I've been in that place before, and it's really a laziness. And, you know, what I appreciate about this whole thing is that you're just asking for us to think biblically about something we do on a daily basis, and that's parent our kids. And everything you've said here makes so much sense. It's so helpful, but it's breaking it down onto a granular level. And I just really appreciate you coming on for this last hour, giving us your time. I know that as people have listened, they've probably are wondering, how can I find more resources? Besides coming to the conference this October 24th, what else can people do to connect with you?
Well, we have a website, biblicalparenting.org. People can get free email parenting tips there. One of the things we do at biblicalparenting.org and in our ministry is we have two departments. One is helping parents, doing exactly what we're talking about here. Lots of resources for parents. But we also have church resources, because we want to help churches develop into parent training centers. We have 140 presenters around the country who teach our live parenting seminars. We've written 13 books on parenting. We have 4 video training programs for churches, and we have a whole map of how churches can develop their parent ministry. So parents can get a lot of help at biblicalparenting.org. They can sign up for free email parenting tips there and stay in continual contact with us as we feed them information about how to reach the hearts of their children.
That's excellent. Great. So biblicalparenting.org. You'll be back here in Southern California on October 22nd through the 24th in 3 different locations. You're traveling all around the country. I'm sure your schedule is available online as well. And I would recommend the iTunes podcast that you recently did. I think there's 22 episodes, and each one of those is just so rich and excellent. So thank you for giving us your time. Appreciate you stopping by. We're out of time. We'll have to have you back again.
Thanks, Josh. It's good to be with you. A lot of fun. Thanks.
Yep. God bless.
We pray you've been blessed and that you'll join us again for another edition of Pastor's Perspective. The preceding was sponsored by Calvary Chapel and K-Wave.